do different countries deal with the issue of religious freedom? And which policies foster tolerance and friendship? And which, on the other hand, lead to incomprehension, prejudice, and sometimes violence? Well, the UN's expert on religious freedom, Asma Jahangir, is conducting a global study examining the track records of countries in allowing people to freely practice their faith or beliefs. As part of that study, the UN Special Rapporteur on Religious Freedom was recently here in Rome to meet with Vatican officials for the Holy See's perspective on the issue. She told Emer McCarthy about her work and why the UN felt such a study was necessary.
You can imagine how complicated the issue must have been, because it was after years of discussion that in 1981 the UN was able to come up with a declaration of elimination of all forms of intolerance and of discrimination based on religion or belief. And then subsequent to 1981, for the first time, they appointed a special rapporteur in 1986 to look at the situation worldwide. It is part of human rights. Freedom of religion is very much central to all human rights. And I believe that United Nations and governments of the world must be concerned about it. The question of tolerance, the question of how you have to challenge forces of intolerance and atmospheres that build intolerance, which lead to a number of conflicts. And we've seen that conflicts have taken place because of this rising intolerance. So governments are very much concerned about it and should be concerned about it, I think, much more than they are indeed. And therefore, it does become a concern, a special theme for human rights and for the United Nations to look at and address it.
And what response have you had so far from the various nations that you have visited?
You know, I must be very honest with you that I was of the impression many years ago, before I got very familiar and close to this special procedures, that when you go and visit a country, governments will perhaps not cooperate, governments will perhaps look away, governments will be critical. But somehow the mechanism is such and the dynamics of a visit is such that governments do pay attention. And in some cases, I have had remarkable cooperation. For example, in Azerbaijan, I was very recently there, and I did also report and said during the press conference that it was unprecedented cooperation from the government of Azerbaijan. That does not mean problems are not there, but it shows to you that the government is willing to look at these problems. Because when a government is in denial, that is the most difficult situation. In my last mandate, which was of extrajudicial killing, I was one of the first mandate to go into Darfur. And I did write my report saying that, and I was really frustrated because I didn't know what to say because the government was in complete denial. So when you are in that state of mind, it's very difficult to go forward. In the last mandate, I've been to Brazil. And there again, I was absolutely impressed. Despite the horrible problems of extrajudicial killings, the government was willing to listen. The government was keen. The government was eager to do something about it. People were, very welcoming of a UN special rapporteur that was coming to address a problem that they see day to day and they suffer day to day. I went to Sri Lanka also this year. Where again, I have to commend the government for being very forthright on issues. The Buddhist community and their leadership, who were very candid, even were willing to be persuaded into a certain action that they could follow or certain approaches that they could take. So these visits are not always without results. I must say that some would be without results, but on the whole, I feel very pleased. Plus, it gives voice to people. It gives voice to civil society. There is debate around it. And as mandate holders, I believe one of our responsibility and obligation is not only to work our mandate with integrity, but also to give our mandate and the issue more visibility. And this is an opportunity that we take during our country visits.
If we take, for example, the country that you said you were most impressed with, Azerbaijan, it is quite a surprise to me personally that you say you had such a positive response from a country that hasn't always had the best reputation for being one of the most tolerant. You went there and you met with who exactly? With the government itself, with various representatives of the local religious groups and bodies? Exactly how do you go about visiting a country?
Now, let me say that when I said that I was very impressed, I was impressed by the people of Azerbaijan and by the cooperation that the government gave, which does not mean that I'm necessarily impressed by the record. It's a country in transition. It's a very difficult transition. Yet, when you look at, in a very narrow sense, the question of freedom of religion, you see that because of the historical background and because there is a very high level of tolerance amongst the people, that you get amazed. Because on the one hand, you read that this country is in transition. On the one hand, you read that there are problems in other spheres of human rights. But when you look at freedom of religion, it is much better than I would have seen in many other countries. And the fact that it's laid back, the people are not so passionate about forcing their beliefs on other people. And that by itself is a society where you can work with quite ease. In my report, I have written of certain problems in parts of Azerbaijan which have been of deep concern. But it's not as though the authorities or Azeris generally would say that this is something that we generally would do or something that they would applaud. They would be very concerned that this is happening in their society. Well, when we go, we meet the government officials. Most times we would even meet the president or the prime minister, just like in Brazil I did meet with President Lula, which was, I think, something that I will always remember, because it was not my experience that a president would sit for 1.5 hours when they had a meeting for 15 minutes to really look at every issue that I brought on the table and know exactly what I was talking about, what location, what incident. While I was there, the very unfortunate, very tragic event took place. One person who had come and talked to me was then killed, and he took immediate action on protecting the other people who came and spoke to me. So he was keen to hear, and I think it is respect for the other person that you see there, that you are somebody who is coming from outside, but they respect your independence, they respect your expertise, and don't look at you as though they know it all. And coming that from the president of a very important country, it was an experience that made me have more hope. So you meet government, you meet all the officials, you naturally meet the interior ministry. In my previous mandate, in this mandate, I would meet the education ministry, because education has a lot to do with building of tolerance. You would meet religious leaders, various communities, in particular religious minorities, members of civil society, which does not simply only mean NGOs, who are very important and who have played a crucial role in providing information to not only the United Nations mechanisms, but also to media and also to the outside world. But like, say, bar associations, which are part of civil society, trade unions, which are part of civil society, professional organizations. These are people who are generalists, but can give you unbiased overview of the situation. Because it's not just enough for a special rapporteur to just go and see whether a particular incident took place or not. However, grave a violation that may be, and important though it may be, but to look at the whole atmosphere and then to connect that incident or incidents to that atmosphere. And that is how you would be able to come to conclusions and recommendations. Because just to say that this should not happen again is no conclusion. So I believe that the more people we meet, and I'm amazed how much you learn It's such a learning experience. Sometimes I'm so humbled when I go, because even an ordinary person can teach you so much.
Asma Jahangir is the United Nations Special Rapporteur on Religious Freedom and Belief.